I think one of the things that people do is they make a big mistake when they try to talk to God. They assume that God is like they are. And Vivekananda said, a man may never have entered a church or a mosque, nor performed any ceremony, but if he realizes God within himself and is thereby lifted above the vanities of the world, that man is a holy man, a saint, call him what you will. Vivekananda, a great teacher who came over from India in the early part of the 20th century. And to me, being a saint or being able to speak from the God within assumes that you don't assume that God can be anything other than what God is. So God is that which is abundant. So if God is that which is abundant and only abundant, then trying to talk to God from a position of lack or shortage is a waste of time and a waste of energy. You can't reach God that way. You have to understand that God can only be what God is. If God is perfect oneness, and you come to God as anything other than what God is, how do you expect God to hear you? If you come to God from a position of division or two-ness, expecting God in your prayer to respond to it, if perfect oneness were to respond to separation and division or conflict, then perfect oneness couldn't exist, because now it's no longer perfect oneness, it's now responding to two-ness. So God has to be what God is, just like you have to be what you are. So how do you come to God, spirit or soul or consciousness or divine mind or whatever, and ask for guidance and help when you're coming from a position of I don't have enough? You have to do it like St. Francis did it in his very famous prayer. He said, looking for peace, he didn't have any peace in his life. He didn't say, please God, give me some peace. I don't have any peace. Everywhere I go, somebody wants something from me. Somebody wants to be healed from me. Somebody wants it. He said, make me an instrument of thy peace. In other words, let me summon from you what it is that I have forgotten to be. Now you have a shortage, a lack of some kind in your life. How do you go to spirit? You say what St. Francis said, make me an instrument of thy abundance. Let me attract from whence I came what I have forgotten to be, rather than saying, I have a shortage, please respond to it. Because if something has only perfect abundance, unlimited abundance here, how could it recognize something that believes in lack? How could it do that? If it were to do that, it no longer would be this. So the same thing is true of your diseases, your sicknesses. You can't ask God, your source, to heal you of your sickness if you believe in the disease process. So healing is, to me, a misnomer. If God is perfect well-being, and that's what you came from, make me an instrument of thy well-being. In other words, let me summon the perfect health, the perfect well-being that I came from. Let me return that to my body, rather than saying, please heal me of these things that it doesn't recognize in the first place, because it's only about well-being. That's a very different shift process that has to take place in this whole business of prayer. And I've written a lot about this in Inspiration in much more detail. God can only be what God is. You talk to Source or to Spirit from this perspective. It's about remembering. It's about remembering. I've quoted this earlier in the program. The memory of God comes to the quiet mind. It cannot come where there is conflict. A mind at war with itself remembers not eternal gentleness. You must be as you were created. What you remember is who you are. Be done with this madness and return instead to the quiet memory of God. That's a paraphrase from the Course in Miracles. Be done with this madness and return instead to the quiet memory of God. Inspiration, enlightenment, higher consciousness are things to remember, not to learn. That's where you came from. You want to go back to that. And the final thing I think you have to remember is that as you're approaching Source, is that God knows. Your Source knows. It doesn't have to be reminded about anything. It knows. It remembers to have a heavier coat of fur on every animal as the winter approaches, on the entire planet, in every hemisphere. It doesn't have to be reminded of it at all. It doesn't ever forget the horses or the cats or the dogs. It doesn't forget anything. And the way that you show your love for this Source is by trusting in it, having complete and total faith in it, and by suspending any of your doubt that it knows. It already knows everything that you need. Trust in that. That was the great lesson of Immaculée Ilibagiza in Left to Tell. It's what made me feel after I read that, if I could deepen my communion and knowing of my Source, if I could get that so deep and so strong that there's absolutely nothing that I couldn't accomplish. When you're inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends all limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction. And you're in a new and a different and a crazy and a wonderful world. Dormant forces are activated. And you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. That person you discover yourself to be is a God-realized being, someone who's in harmony with God. I have two things that I want to share with you as I leave. I love this. It came from the Arthur Eggendorf, who wrote Healing from the War. This is such a wonderful summary of everything that I've tried to put together in this program. The seed of this culture is the determination within individuals, and then small groups and communities, to devote our lives to the greatest vision of all time. Not to wait for a savior one day to deliver us, not to wait for a government to pass truly just laws, not to wait for a revolution to right the wrongs of a cruel world, and not to mount a crusade to overpower some distant source of evil beyond ourselves. Each of us, singly and with all the others, is answerable for creating joy through the way our lives unfold, here and now. And once this purpose becomes primary, we can turn to the endless job of bringing well-being to others. Justice and integrity to our government, and instituting constructive programs for change here and elsewhere. When inspired in this way, we don't have to wait for the final outcome before we're nourished. There is no finer way to live or die. Isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? That's such a wonderful summary. And I was reading The Wisdom of the Enneagram. I love the Enneagram, the 9 points for looking at our personalities. It's really profound stuff in there. It's not some kind of old hocus pocus, getting your fortune for the day. The Enneagram is brilliantly conceived work, great teachings. At the end of the Enneagram, I'm going to give a partial summary of what they offer us. If we were to awaken to the moment, we would experience reality. If we were to experience reality, we would see that we are not our personalities. If we were to see that we are not our personality, we would remember ourselves. If we were to remember ourselves, we would let go of our fear and our attachments. If we were to let go of our fears and our attachments, we would be touched by God. If we were touched by God, we would seek union with God. If we were to seek union with God, we would will what God wills. If we were to will what God wills, we would be transformed. If we were to be transformed, the world would be transformed.